This is the last Sunday before the blessed holiday of Thanksgiving. You know, and I thought it fit tonight, you know, predictable, but fit tonight to talk about Thanksgiving, to talk about giving thanks. You know, a lot of churches across America spend this weekend reminding us of what it is that we can be thankful for. And, you know, Thanksgiving has a tendency for some to be a joyous occasion as we begin to reflect, we begin to look upon our lives and to count our blessings, so to speak, and we begin to look and see that, you know, maybe we're blessed with blessings, maybe we're blessed with family, maybe we're blessed with food and great fellowship, maybe we're blessed to have a job. But also, you know, Thanksgiving is a time for some of great pain, of great hardship, you know, maybe a reflection of things that we may not have. Some of you in this place tonight may not have family. Some of you may not be blessed with a job. Some of you may not have the blessings that you feel that, you know, would bring you up and lift you up. So Thanksgiving and the holiday season in general is a time of mixed emotions. You know, there are some that are just rejoice in the festivities, and there are others that, you know, it brings out the worst in the situation, and it brings out the circumstances more so. And, you know, we could preach a limitless topics of things that we could be grateful for. I mean, there's, you know, the basics. We can be grateful for our breath, grateful for the fact that we are here today. We can be grateful for the fact that we, you know, we had the ability to get to church. We can be grateful for, you know, all sorts of things. The fact that we got out of bed this morning, the fact that we can hear, the fact that we can see. There's so many things that we can be grateful for. But tonight I want to focus in on a couple things that I really believe that God had spoke on my heart and put on my heart tonight to bring to you as a remembrance of reasons for Thanksgiving is what we're going to talk about tonight. And, you know, we recall Thanksgiving is that holiday that happened oh so many years ago with the Pilgrims and the Indians as they got together and had a moment of peace and celebration, and you know, the felt board stories of those stories of as the children, you know, with the buckles and the old school hats and the turkey and all those things. And it's a great tradition, and it's a blessed tradition. We're honored and blessed that we get to celebrate such a wonderful occasion in a time of reflection as a nation and as a people, where countries around the world don't celebrate Thanksgiving. It's an American holiday. But the beautiful thing about it is it's a great tool for us as Christians, us as people of God, us as children of God, to take a moment and reflect upon the things that we are thankful for, and reasons to give thanks, reasons to be thankful for what it is that we have, regardless of our situation, regardless of our circumstances, whether it be positive or whether they be negative. We all have reasons that we can give thanks. And tonight I have a little video that I want to show you. It's a quirky video. It's made for fun. You know, it's not real. It's actors and things of that nature. So as you watch it, just open your eyes, open your heart, and check out what I have for you tonight.
It was Thanksgiving morning, and I was sick. And not the dainty, manageable kind of sick. I was sick. There was so much still to be done. Supplies to gather, food to prepare, and an 18-pound turkey to roast. So my dear husband decided to enlist help. If he were smart, he would have just called his mother or his sister-in-law, but no. He called his brother, Paul. Now let me just say, seeing the two of them in action is what made me understand why animals eat their young. Neither of them had any real experience in the kitchen. In fact, they had about as much business preparing a holiday dinner as I did playing linebacker in the NFL. The only meal I'd ever seen my husband prepare was a bowl of cereal. And Paul? Well, Paul had his own set of difficulties when it came to food prep. I'm not exactly sure what went on in the kitchen that day, but judging from the commotion, the laughter, and one actual scream, I was pretty sure it was something I wasn't going to be thankful for. Good intentions can go a long way, but you need more than intentions to roast a turkey. On Thanksgiving, most of us stop and reflect on the tangible things we're thankful for, our health, our family. However, on that Thanksgiving, I didn't have my health, and I couldn't be with my family. I felt alone and somewhat forgotten. Then I remembered a time in the Bible when Moses felt alone. He wanted to see God to try and make sense of his circumstances. In turn, God said he would make his goodness pass right in front of him. And God's goodness was more than enough. I guess the trick is, no matter what the circumstance you find yourself in on Thanksgiving, or any day, is to see God's goodness and to thank him for it. Oh, and by the way, that Thanksgiving may have ended up being the best one we've ever had. Thanks to the dinner being overcooked, undercooked, and in some parts raw, our family started the first annual Thanksgiving Leftovers food fight. Sure, it's silly and a whole lot of fun, but this tradition has become an annual reminder to our whole family that no matter how messy our lives get, we can still be thankful for God's goodness.
Am I on there? There I go. So tonight, I want to remind you, you know, that video was in good fun and it was entertaining to watch. But the message behind that, you know, the closing line is, no matter how messy things can get, we can always be thankful for God's goodness. And tonight I want to talk about reasons for Thanksgiving. And I want to look besides circumstantial things. I want to look beyond the physical, beyond our health, beyond our own selves, beyond what it is that we have in our lives, and things that we can all share in the goodness of God and being thankful for the things that he has done in his goodness tonight. And I want to give you a couple of things tonight. They're things that likely you already know, but I feel like sometimes, especially, you know, just to be open and honest and completely transparent with you, that in my own life, I fail sometimes to fully appreciate and acknowledge the blessings and the gifting that God has given me. And so tonight, I felt like God had pressed these on my heart tonight, these five simple things that we're just going to go through real quick, real simple, and a time to reflect and time to remember what it is that we have as a reason for Thanksgiving. And I want to encourage you tonight as we hear these things. You know, they're not new concepts to most of us. They're not new ideas. But I want to encourage you tonight as we go through them to reflect upon them. And don't just let this week of Thanksgiving, as the kids are out of school and, you know, you maybe get that Thursday off, maybe you don't get that Thursday off because of Black Friday, whatever it might be, that you don't forget after this week the reason for Thanksgiving, but that we carry this thankful heart throughout the year, throughout our lives, and we don't forget or take for granted what it is that's been done for us and the blessings and the goodness of God. Are you guys with me tonight? So let's get into the Word. As we talk about reasons for Thanksgiving tonight, I've got five simple things that I want to tell you, share with you of reasons for Thanksgiving, starting from 1 to 5. Very simple. Number one tonight, as far as reasons for Thanksgiving, is our salvation. You know, it is so easy for us as Christians, especially the longer we become Christians, the longer we are in the body of Christ, to neglect or to forget the gift, the price that was paid for you and I, so that we can be free. It is so easy for us to take for granted that we, you know, responded to that call once at church and we gave our heart and our life to God, and he gave us and he made us free from the life that we once were. And it's easy for us to forget that. I'll tell you, open and honest for me, it's sometimes we just take it for granted and it just becomes a way of life. But I want to talk to you tonight. I want to remind you that as we reflect on Thanksgiving, as we call this holiday our Thanksgiving, maybe you go around the table on that Thursday afternoon or that Thursday evening and say, what is it are you thankful for? And you begin to reflect on your life. I would like you to remember the things that God has done for you and those things that maybe we often overlook. Yes, we're thankful for our health. Yes, we're thankful for our blessings. Yes, we're thankful for God's goodness. But let's be thankful for the things that sometimes are so simple, the concepts that are so elementary in our lives that we begin to take them for granted. And let's be thankful for, number one, first and foremost, for our salvation. You know, there's a verse in the Bible I'm sure that we could probably all quote back together in John, the 3rd chapter, verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave His only begotten Son. You know, I love the fact that we were saved, the Bible says, by grace. You know, God chose us. I was preaching on Friday night in the young adult service about a verse in John the 15th chapter. And I was sharing with the young adults that Jesus shares with his disciples that we didn't choose him, but rather God chose us. And the fact that God chose us first gave us the ability to therefore choose him. And God looked upon us. The Bible says that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's a miracle. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes we just take it for what it is. Yes, I got saved. Yes, you know, I gave my heart to God. But, you know, life happens. Life continues to go on. The circumstances, the kids and their sports, you know, work, jobs, whatever it might be. We begin to work and we begin to continue on in our lives. We get to move on and keep moving and moving and moving. And all of a sudden, it's been weeks, it's been months, maybe it's been years since we've really reflected upon the gift of salvation that God gave, the sacrifice that he gave, his only begotten Son, so that you and I could share in salvation. You know, the book of Colossians, if you've got your Bibles, let's just turn there. In the book of Colossians, in the first chapter, verse number 12. Here Paul the Apostle is writing. He's speaking a blessing upon them, and he's exhorting them, kind of picking up midway through what he was talking about. Verse number 12, Paul the Apostle says, "Giving thanks to the Father, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." In the light. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. You know, by nature, by sheer genealogy from the fall of Adam and Eve, we were not qualified to be partakers of God's goodness. We were excommunicated from communication with God. We were excommunicated from being one-on-one with God when Adam and Eve were in that garden and they partook of that fruit. There was a chasm between God and man, and God chose a time. He qualified us by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He qualified us in a time that you and I didn't deserve it. We may not have even realized our need for God, yet he realized our need for him, and he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, so that we could be free from the bondage of sin and death, so that we could be free from the death that once held us back, so that we could be free from the old life. The Bible says that we are new creations and old things have passed away. You know, I love in the book of Hebrews, if you want to just keep your finger, maybe put your ribbon in Colossians, we're going to come back right to there. But I love in the book of Hebrews, I'm going to turn there and I'm going to read it to you. Hebrews, the second chapter. The author of Hebrews is writing. I'm going to read you verse number 1 through 3. Verse number 3 will be up in the overhead out of the second chapter. "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to all things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and is confirmed to us by those who heard him?" Here, the writer of Hebrews says, listen, our transgressions, our actions were to be called upon by God. And how are we to escape the doom, the impending judgment based upon our life if we neglect so great a salvation, that great salvation that Jesus Christ came to this earth and he died upon that cross for us? Now, the writer speaking of neglecting that salvation as far as turning away from that salvation. But you know what? Sometimes we can neglect that salvation, that great gift of salvation, just by forgetting to remember it, but by taking it for granted. And church, I want to encourage you tonight as we go about Thanksgiving, as we go about giving thanks to God and finding reasons, regardless of our circumstances, whether things in our life at present may be good or may be bad. Maybe we are in a high moment or we're in a wilderness area. We can always be thankful for the gift that God has given us of salvation, and that we are not to neglect that so that we can escape that judgment, that impending judgment that was set before us, that God himself set his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins so that we could escape that judgment if we call upon him, if we believe in Jesus Christ and we believe in God. So we have reasons tonight to be thankful. First and foremost is our salvation. Are you guys with me tonight? We're talking about reasons for Thanksgiving. As you can see, these aren't incredibly deep topics, but they're things that we need to hear, the things that we need to remember, the things that we need to write down and reflect on and bring up so that we can be grateful, that we can have gratitude for things that we may not even realize have been done for us. Number two tonight, reasons for thanksgiving, the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, Jesus Christ came to the earth. He taught us how to live. He gave us an example of what perfection looks like so that we could attain and aspire to be like that. And he spread himself upon that cross, beaten, bloody, crucified, so that he could become the middleman, the high priest who sits at the throne of God, who makes intercession for us. He did that so we could be free. But the bottom line is, church, you and I'll tell you, you and I, we're human. Hello. We make mistakes. And even after we receive that great call of salvation and that great gift of salvation, there are times, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life, hello, that I make mistakes. I mess up. And thank God for the grace of God. Paul the Apostle says that His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Why? Jesus Christ came to the cross and He bore our sin and our shame on that cross. He bridged the gap between man and God so that we could be free from bondage. And He gave us a new beginning. He gave us a new start. And He said, you know what? And the Bible tells us in 1 John, He says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. The Bible tells us that God will blot out our sins from His memory. And it's amazing that we can go. Church, I don't think sometimes we as people, we as human beings, we're like elephants. We don't forget. It's easy for us to tell somebody, you know what, I forgive you for the wrong that you've done to me. I forgive you for the hurt and the pain. But you know, we as people, we guard ourselves. And we keep that sometimes in the back of our head. We say that we give it to them, but we say that we release that. And sometimes we genuinely do. But a lot of times, even in our own, when it comes to forgiving ourselves, we hold on to that, and we throw that back in there. And I don't know if we genuinely grab the concept of God. When we give our sin to Him, when we confess it to Him, when we repent of our ways, His grace covers us. His God has the chalkboard of our life, the history of everything that we've done, and God takes a wet rag to that chalkboard, and He wipes it clean. I don't think we quite understand the concept that it is no longer in existence. I saw somebody today on Twitter posted that everything that the devil says is a lie. Therefore, when the devil says you can't do it, that is the truth is that you can do it. When the devil says that you're no good, that you're not good enough, the truth is you are good enough. Because why? God has made you righteous in His light. God has made you. He has given us the avenue through His Son, Jesus Christ, through His spilled blood, through His broken body, that we could be forgiven of our sins before and after our salvation. God's grace gives us the ability to get past our sins. God's grace does not give us the ability to remain in our sins. Are you guys with me tonight? So we have the reason, we have the ability to be thankful for our sin, or to be thankful for our sins forgiven. Now back to Colossians in the second chapter. I got to turn back there because I went to Hebrews, but we're going to turn to Colossians in the second chapter. Here again, Paul the Apostle writing. I love this verse. This is just so impactful. We're going to read Colossians 2:13 through verse 14. Paul the Apostle writing says, "You being dead in your trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven, church, having forgiven all trespasses. Having wiped out the hand of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out, having disarmed the principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Having disarmed the requirements against us, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements against us. I used that example just a moment ago of a chalkboard. You know, just imagine the handwriting of requirements against us. Every time we make a bad decision, every time we think a bad thought, every time we may spill that bit of gossip about somebody around us, there's that handwriting of requirement against us. And the Bible says that God Himself, when we come before Him and we accept our forgiveness and we confess our sins and we repent, we say, God, this is not who I am. God takes that wet rag onto that chalkboard and He blots it out. You know, my son, we have a little chalkboard coffee table. And we gave him a little bit of chalk the other day because he gets to stand right at the coffee table. And he was just going crazy, you know. And it was all over his face. It was all over everything. It was all over the furniture. The beautiful thing is that we could take that rag and we could wipe it down, and all of a sudden that chalkboard was blank. We have a clean slate. No longer is the past, no longer is what we once were, no longer is who we once were applicable. Now we are clean. We have been washed as white as snow, all because of the forgiveness of sins, for reasons for us to be thankful. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. The Bible says that His mercies are new each morning. I'll just put it up on the overhead, 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, verses number 18 through 19. We read, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Verse number 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. You know, one translation, the New International Version, says that God was not counting their sins against us. You know, we as humans, we as people, we oftentimes we say we forgive, we say we forget, but we hold those things to our memory. And sometimes we feel in our own heart, sometimes it's conviction of ourselves, sometimes it's the guilt or the wiles of the enemy to try to separate us from God, that we feel that we've got a God that hangs our mistakes over our head and is watching us and is waiting on us. But the Bible tells us that He does not count our sins against us if we go to God. If we go to God. Remember I said that God's grace allows us to get out of sin. God's grace does not allow us to stay in sin. So we have a reason to be thankful tonight, church. Why? Because we were forgiven of our trespasses. The handwriting of requirement against us was blotted out. Amen? Number three tonight, talking about reasons for thanksgiving. We have spiritual life. We have spiritual life. We read that we were dead in our trespasses. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death. You know, from the moment we were born into sin and death. It is through our genealogy. It is in our human nature. It is in our blood. It is in our instinct. You know, the evidence of that is just look at people all over the world. You don't have to teach a child how to lie. You don't have to teach them how to do things like that, how to cover up the truth. It just comes natural. And we were born into sin and we were born into death by our human nature. But the Bible tells us that we have been given life through Jesus Christ. And now all of a sudden, when we have accepted our salvation through Jesus Christ, when we have been forgiven of our sins, Jesus says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ rebukes that and says, "But I have come so that you may have life and that you may have life more abundantly." We have the gift of life. We have the opportunity to live life to the fullest. Life in our spiritual world. Life in joy. We are the light of the world, Jesus Christ says. The salt of the earth. We have the ability to shine in God's goodness and God's grace and God's glory. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget to acknowledge the fact that before salvation, before the cross, before the forgiveness of our sins, we were dead. And we take the life for granted. You know, as a young adults pastor, I get so many young adults that come to me. I shouldn't say so many, but I get more than one. Young adults that come to me and they say to me, "You know, Pastor Luke, I was happier before I got saved. I felt more fulfilled. I felt better about myself. Now that I'm saved, I always feel guilty. Now that I'm saved, I always feel like I'm a downer." You know what the bottom line is? Is that Jesus Christ promised us that we would have life. And if that's you in this place, you say, "Pastor Luke, you don't understand my circumstances. Why would I be thankful? I feel miserable." The bottom line is get a hold of the salvation. Get a hold of the Word of God in your life because you have life. All you have got to do is reach out and grab a hold of it. And understand that, you know what, when you're holding on to the past, when you're holding on to who you once were, there is no life. And it's not about abracadabra magical words that you raise your hand and you said a magical prayer and all of a sudden things are going to get better. It is about being believing in God, calling upon Him, looking after Him, drawing near to Him. And when we as the church do so, we are granted life. Yes. And it is that life, that abundant life, that we should be so thankful, church, because regardless of our circumstances, like that video showed, the goodness of God can reflect upon us. The goodness of God when we're walking through those wilderness areas, when we're in those down and out places, when the rains of life are pouring down over our head, we still have life in Jesus Christ. I love in Romans, the 8th chapter, I think one of the most impactful chapters in the Bible. We did a series in the young adults called In Christ. I love in Romans, the 8th chapter, Paul the Apostle writes, and he says, you know, it is the Spirit of God, in verse number 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Paul the Apostle says, listen, it is the glory of God, it is the Spirit of God that was able to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. So when we are down and out, we are sick, we are depressed, whatever it might be, the Spirit of God has the ability, has the power, has the right to come in and build us up to bring us life in Jesus Christ, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. The beautiful thing is that life doesn't just stop here on this world. Life doesn't just stop on this mere vapor of a moment that we live or we are in existence here, but now we are guaranteed, we are put into a kingdom of God, and we have life eternally at the seat of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So many times I think it's easy for us to forget that. We look to our lives now, we look to our situations now, and we look at our problems and we may not be able to see past that. We may not be able to see the long picture. The Bible says that our life is but a vapor. This is just the start. After this is the best part, where we get to sit at the feet of the Lord, worship in His glory for eternity, church. I don't think sometimes, you know, I don't know if it's possible for us humans to generally to genuinely comprehend eternity. We're not talking, guys, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, 35 million years, all the way back to the dinosaurs. We are talking from the beginning of time to the end of the time. We are given life through Jesus Christ so that we can sit at the throne of God. We can be seated next to Him as children of God. It is a blessed opportunity for us that we ought to not take for granted, that we ought not to neglect, that we got to remind ourselves, you know what? It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what my job says. It doesn't matter what my family's doing. It doesn't matter what my friends are saying. It doesn't matter if my car is running or not. I have life. I have life through Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God who dwells on the inside of me. You guys with me tonight? John, the 4th chapter, Jesus is speaking in verse number 14. I'll just go ahead and throw it up on the overhead. Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. That term, everlasting. You know, you think of that gum commercial, Evermint or whatever it is. The gum, the flavor of gum that never ends. And that, you know, you've seen those commercials where the guy's got to come punch the guy or whatever to spit the gum out of his mouth so they can put another piece in, because he never spits that gum out because the gum's flavor never ends. We have life better than that, church. Our life never ends. Our life is everlasting from beginning to end, from here to eternity. We have been given life. Jesus says, if you drink from the water of life, He tells the woman at the well, He says, listen, I got water for you that if you drink, you will never be thirsty again. You will never thirst again. So you say, you know what, Pastor Luke, I feel like junk. I feel like garbage. I was happier when I was in the world. I was happier when I was in the bottle. I was happier when I was in the tobacco, whatever it might be. Grab a hold, church, of the water of life, because Jesus promised that when you drink of that water, you will never thirst again, and you will have everlasting life. Something that we can be grateful, something that we can be reminded for, reasons that we can give thanks regardless of our highs and our lows, regardless of our circumstances. Are you guys with me in the house tonight? We're talking about reminders, reasons for thanksgiving. I'll tell you what, it just keeps getting better. Talking about reasons for thanksgiving, number 4 tonight. We are family. you know, the holidays, this season, starting from Thanksgiving through Christmas and New Year's, is tough for those who are alone. It's tough for those who may be on their own. Those single mothers with their child that their family has no support for them, maybe doesn't even care about them. You know, the wives or the husbands where their spouse is wayward, it may be tough to remember what you once had. And how family can sometimes, those closest to us, can also be the ones that bring us the most pain. And for many across the United States, many across the world, the holiday season is a time of great grieving because of the things that they don't have. You know, I've read somewhere that the suicide rate goes up during the holiday season because of the depression, because of the lack of support. But the beautiful thing is church, you and I, regardless of our family, regardless if we have a family that loves us and supports us physically, we have been adopted into the family of God. And it doesn't matter what our last name is. It doesn't matter where we came from. It doesn't matter if we were a mistake from our parents or we were an accident or we were unplanned or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter, because now when we have received the salvation of God through Jesus Christ on that cross, we have been adopted into the family of God. And our identity is no longer in that last name. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. Are you guys with me tonight? So you may not have family. You may not have anybody. You may have to have that Thanksgiving turkey dinner via microwave, via quick instant dinner. That's okay, because you are adopted into the family of God, a family bigger than you can even number, a family whose generational legacy goes millenniums. Most of us can't even recount who our great grandparents are, let alone beyond that. But our family, the family of Christ, has been adopted, has been characterized, has been categorized, has been written down for generations, thousands and thousands of years, connected all the way to Almighty God. We have been adopted in to the family of God. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse number 15. Paul the Apostle writing says, I'll just go ahead and put it up on the overhead. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. In the book of Romans, Paul the Apostle refers to the children of Israel, God's chosen people, a people out of the seed of Abraham. He refers to them as the olive tree. He refers to you and I, the Gentiles, the outcasts, those who were not born into the chosen people, as a wild olive branch. And he says, didn't God take us, that wild olive branch, and graft us in and tie us into that natural branch so that we could be rooted into the same family, so that we who were once wild, we who were once a weed, we who were once outcast are now brought in, grafted into, tied to, brought into, so that we are connected by blood to the family. We are now a part of that chosen. The Bible tells us that we are chosen generation, His own special people. We just read that we are heirs in Christ. Heirs. We are in line for the inheritance. We are able to receive. At one time that we just read, we were dead in our trespasses, disconnected from God, separated by our sin and our filth. Now all of a sudden there's a transformation through God. And who we once were is no longer who we are. Now we are heirs, in line to receive the inheritance, in line to receive the blessing, in line to receive all that God has given to us. The Bible says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with us that we are children of God. What a reason for us to be thankful for. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter who you have in your life or who you don't have in your life. You got Jesus Christ in your life as your brother, as your heir. You've got God the Father as your mighty Father, your provider. You've got brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. All together. A family larger than anything else. You know, I think that it's kind of fun. I want to go ahead and use that in the next thing. I was getting ahead of myself. In Galatians, the 4th chapter. I'm just going to go ahead and read this as well. I'm going to read you verse number 1. We're going to go all the way through for 7. Let's turn there. Let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians. Since there's so much there, let's turn there. Book of Galatians in the 4th chapter. Verse number 1. We read, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave, though he is the master of all, but is under the guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time God had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave. If you are a son, then an heir of God through Christ." You know what he's saying here is, you know what? A son is no different than a slave. And you know, he likens it to, in modern day terms, those who have an inheritance, maybe have a trust fund. You have no control over that trust fund. You have no access to that trust fund, to that inheritance, until time has been allotted, till somebody else gives it to you, till there's a certain set point in your life. Maybe it's when you turn 18, maybe it's when you turn 30, so forth and so on. So he says, you have no control over that. But God saw an opportune time, and he sent Jesus Christ, born of a woman, born under the law, so that we might have that inheritance. So no longer are we at the mercy of those above us. No longer are we at the mercy of the sin nature of who we once were. Now we have access to that trust fund. We have access to the grace of God. We have access to the family of God. And now we are sons and daughters of the living God, heirs to the inheritance of God. Reasons to be thankful. Above all else, we were cast out. We were stricken for dead. We were worthless in our own. But God saw a need in us. God saw a value in us to send his son, so that he could bring his son Jesus Christ, so that we could become heirs, that we could become family members, that we could be joined together in one unit, and one spirit, and one body, and one heart to God the Father. So that we could be blessed. So, because there is strength in numbers. There is strength in family. So you say, you know what? I don't have anybody this week. I don't have anybody this holiday season. You've got the body of Christ. You've got Jesus Christ. You've got God the Father on the throne. You've got all that you need. You guys with me tonight? We're talking about reasons for Thanksgiving. Lastly tonight, we have been placed into authority. We have been placed into authority through the blood of Jesus Christ. That authority has been passed to us, and when we proclaim things in his name, a door has been opened to us. I liken it to the mafia. What, Pastor Luke? What are you talking about? You know, there's a certain term in the mafia, in the organized crime world. We've been made. We are made. Some of you guys go, Pastor Luke, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Let me explain. Now we are not organized crime, okay? Let me just say that. We're going to go the opposite way. But we're using this as an example, okay? So we're not the mafia. But in that organized crime, in those worlds, you know, you've got your low-level thugs, those guys that go, the enforcers, they're the ones that you see in the movies doing all those horrible, surly things that you shouldn't be watching. Then there's those people that maybe have bloodlines, they have a descent. Maybe they can trace their family lines to Sicily or wherever the family is from. And as they go and they prove themselves and they prove their loyalty to the family, to the mafia, there becomes a time in their life where they get called into. And the Godfather, some of you know that, you know, he comes. That's my terrible Godfather impression. He comes and he makes you. You are now made into the family. At that point, you are no longer just some thug. You are no longer just some guy in that family, in that organization. You are now a member of that family. Nobody can bring you harm, even from the other crime families. They couldn't bring harm to a made person without first seeking the permission of the head of that family. We, church, now we're not the mafia, but we, church, have been made. We once were those low levels, those worthless outcasts. But then all of a sudden, God himself, the Godfather, the Father God, hello, brought us into his presence. And he made us into his kingdom. We became made. They put that jacket, that family clothing, the royalty colors on our shoulders. And now all of a sudden, the things that we once had no access to, the rights that we once had no access to, now we have access to them. Now we can speak according to God. Now we can speak as heirs of God. Now we can speak as people of God, and things will happen. Looking at the Word of God, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Verse number 20, Pastor Dan preached an amazing message about this topic, but here Paul the Apostle writes, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God." We are ambassadors, church, you and I. We are ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is one who speaks on behalf of him who sent him, as if that person was there. When the ambassador of the United States goes to another country, it is as if President Obama himself is speaking on behalf of the United States. We, church, are ambassadors of God. As if God himself, as Jesus Christ himself is there with us, we now have the authority placed from God into that so that we can speak out and things can happen. So that we can speak the things of the world. We can speak into our life. We can speak into our situation. We can speak into our health. And now all of a sudden things happen. You guys with me tonight? Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse number 18 and 19. Verse number 18 is the foundation scripture for this church. Jesus Christ is asking the disciples. He says, you know, some people say I am this, some people say I am that. Who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are Jesus the Christ. You're the Son of God. Jesus Christ replies to Peter, "Peter, you know, man didn't reveal that to you, but God himself revealed that to you." In verse number 18, he goes on to say, "Upon this rock I would build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Church, now through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the authority given to us by Jesus Christ, when we call upon him, when we are made into that family, we now have the ability to send the devil back to hell where he belongs, to call heaven down to earth where it is with us. We have now the authority of Jesus Christ in our life. And I'll just say this real quickly. In conclusion, in the book of John, Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." You don't do greater works than Jesus Christ because you don't have authority. You don't do greater works than Jesus Christ because of your natural ability. You do greater things. You have the capability, church, each and every one of us have the capability, have the ability to do what Jesus Christ himself did and greater because of the authority by God placed upon us. We have been made into the family. So, in conclusion tonight, reasons for Thanksgiving. Number one, to be thankful for things that we often look over, our salvation. Reasons for Thanksgiving. Number two, the forgiveness of our sins. Reasons for Thanksgiving. Number three tonight, we have spiritual life. Life more abundantly. Reasons for Thanksgiving, we are a family. And finally tonight, reasons for Thanksgiving, we have been placed into authority. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of the God, the Most High, God Almighty, seated on the throne. And we have been given that authority. In conclusion tonight, Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse number 6 and 7 says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Church, let's take that faith that we have been taught. Let's take that establishment that we have been given, rooted in the Word of God, rooted in the family, and let's abound in our lives with thanksgiving. Did you guys get something out of that tonight? Praise God. Praise God.